Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Michael P. McCarthy is my co-host tonight.
I am happy to be here. And Chris, the producer, if you notice that Drew is singing the theme song again, $20 if you turn his mic on early.
There you go. There you go. I always do. Anyway, we're here, and it's an open show again. A open show means that you, the listener, are the guest. You get to determine the topic that we're going to discuss tonight. You get to say, hey, if you could answer this for me, this would be really helpful, you know, be it about Roth IRAs or Social Security. You get a lot of questions about Social Security. Maybe it's about estate planning. Maybe it's about income taxes. Maybe it's about investments. Maybe it's about auto and home and long-term care insurance or something of that sort. But you might have a topic that you say, you know, Drew and Mike, if you guys can help me with this topic, this will be really helpful to me. And the cool thing is that there's probably 10, 15, 20, 30 other people out there listening saying, I need to hear the answer to that question too, you know? So usually if you're brave enough to call in and ask a question, you know, there's probably a few other people you'll be helping also with that same question. There is no such thing as a bad question. I don't think I've ever had a bad question on the show. Our listeners ask some really tough questions usually. So anyway, the way to call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And if you don't call in, Mike's going to ask the questions, and then I'm stuck.
I am.
You know, and I...
Mine are mostly personal.
He always says, this is what I want to hear, so let's talk about this, Drew. Anyway, go ahead, Mikey. You get the... You're first up, because there's nobody calling in right now.
All right. While the other callers come in, a topic that I was working with some clients on over the past week were assets that I'm going to call stagnant assets. Money parked somewhere that's not helping you for no good reason at all. And we see that a lot, don't we?
We see it way too much.
Yeah.
And we had a client just recently, over $500,000 sitting in brick and mortar banks earning zero.
Yeah, and if you're planning to buy a $500,000 thing next week, that makes total sense. But if you're not planning to use that money, or that money isn't your special emergency fund that's a reasonable size, you're really hurting yourself. I mean, just even if you're going to keep cash, we've always been preaching the gospel of the online banks.
Yeah. Yeah, Ally Bank, Capital One 360, Marcus Bank,
American
Discover,
Express.
American Express. You go online and search online banks, virtual banks, and most of them are paying 0.4, 0.5, even you can find 0.6 still right now.
Yeah.
And that's better than zero.
Now, the other thing that came up for me is the number one most popular grandparent gift.
The Series E bonds.
The Series E bonds.
And you've held it for 40, 50 years, and it's earning zero because after 30 years, they stop paying interest.
Well, or even it's you or it's your 22-year-old kid that is, you know, they're still sitting in a box, you know, at the bank in the safe deposit box. That's not the place for that money to be for that kid at this point in time.
No, probably not. But, you know, the Series E bonds do pay a good interest rate until you're about... until you're through the 30 years of Series E bond accumulation. And matter of fact, right now, one of the best investments you could do is an I bond. And we're going to talk about that after we talk to Tom and his question. Tom, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I would like to hedge my index fund, S&P 500.
Okay.
Is there an index fund that I could... buy that would be the opposite of the S&P 500?
Well, yeah, there are bear ETF funds that supposedly will be directly opposite correlation. So if the S&P 500 goes down 1%, it'll go up 1%. And the problem is that they don't always work perfectly. So that's one of the problems you have with those. But there's numerous ways to do it. You know, my own personal is that I tend not to do it because I find that, what is the old saying that the market goes up
more,
market goes up 90% more than it ever goes down. In other words, the number of ups and so forth of the market over time is significantly greater than the down. So if you do bet against it, you have to be right when you start to bet, and you have to be right when you take it off of your bet.
Yeah, if you have money that you're going to need in the next 3 to 5 years, you should have that section of money in something like a bond fund that's not going to be hurt as much. But that other part that's going to go out past 5 years, you just got to let it, wait and recover.
Yeah, well, but I understand what you're talking about, Tom. But yes, there are. Look for the bear funds, ETFs, and you can get them that are 2 times the market decline, 3 times the market decline. But keep in mind that let's say you have $100,000 in the S&P 500. That means you have to put, what are you going to put, $100,000 in a bear fund and and just let it offset each other? I don't necessarily know that's the best solution.
What do you recommend? How about buying puts on the S&P 500?
Yeah, well, that can work, and that gives you an immense amount of leverage. But now you got to pick the time frame that you want to be in, and you've got to make sure that you're paying a good premium for that, and you got to understand exactly how those puts work, and so forth. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's not as simple as it might sound. And our solution has always been to just, make sure that we're invested wisely and diversified amongst numerous asset classes. And unless we see some reason why we think the United States is going into a serious economic decline that'll last for years and years on end, which we see no sign of whatsoever, even though I know a lot of people would try to argue with that, we see no signs of that at this point in time. All right, my friend?
I have another question.
You want to hold on, and I'll take it after my break, okay?
Thank you.
All right, hold on. We'll hear Tom's question. All right. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and that's where you, our listener, are our guest. You get to call in, ask a question, saying, this is what I want to talk about. This is what's important to me. So if you would answer this question, that would make my day. 410-922-6680 here with Michael P. McCarthy. And we're going back to Tom and Towson to answer a second question. Go ahead, Tom. Second question.
Yes. What is your opinion of precious metal stocks that only hold royalties for mining?
Yeah, so you're talking about like Franco-Nevada is a big one. Or Wheaton, what is Wheaton called? Wheaton Gold something or the other. It strictly owns royalties and so forth. But Franco-Nevada is the big one. That's the monster. That's the 800-pound gorilla in that industry. I like Franco Nevada. I've always liked it. I actually owned Franco Nevada back in the early days. And it was a tremendous stock. I haven't owned it in a few years, but it was a tremendous stock. I'm sorry I ever sold it, you know. But their business is so simple, Tom, it's hard to argue against it. They buy gold mines. They know that, and they don't buy ones that they think there's a gold mine there. They buy a gold mine that they know is there, but they don't think it's been fully developed in as well. But the price they pay for it, even if just what they know is there, is going to give a rate of return. So there's no risk whatsoever unless the price of gold collapses way down below what they estimated the price of gold would be.
And what you mean is in the transactional cost, the no risk.
Only royalties. They don't own the equipment. They just own the royalties. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're not doing any of the mining. They're not paying for employees. They have no employees and so forth. So they just, as the whoever is mining the mine pulls the gold up and sells it, you know, Franco Nevada gets their royalty. It's that simple. They subcontract all the work out to other companies to do. For just the return of all they have to do is collect the royalty.
And what is that stock called again? Franco Nevada?
Franco Nevada. I think it's FNV is the symbol. Frank FNV. Nancy Victor, FNV.
Great.
What were you saying, Mikey?
No, I just wanted to clarify when we're talking about when we say a phrase like no risk around a stock, we weren't saying it around the stock price. We were saying it around.
You always got to be a compliance guy, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I sign this form every year that says I get to go to jail first if we do anything bad.
Yeah, so what Mike's saying there is, you know, when you say no risk, it comes across like I said that, you know, if you buy Franco Nevada, you can't lose money. Well, you can lose a lot of money in Franco Nevada stock. It's just that Franco Nevada may not ever run into, you know, risk of going out of business
in that transaction model.
Model, because all they do is collect revenue. They don't have any operating risk. If they bring gold out of the ground, they have to give Franco Nevada. Even if they're losing money bringing it out of the ground, they still have to give Franco Nevada their royalty.
Right.
So, and they have such little in expenses, and they've got a lot of cash. I mean, I think I looked at it just recently. They've got like $54 billion on their balance sheet or something ridiculous. It might have been $150 billion on their balance sheet and no debt, really. So, yep. You know, it's not going to go out of business, but the stock can go down 60-70% if the price of gold collapses, right? Yep. That's what you're saying as a good compliance guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call, nobody's on the line right now. I get to continue to talk to Michael
bonds.
Here. And you were saying that if you're a parent and you have a Series E bonds, you can actually convert them tax-deferred to a 529 plan.
Yeah, potentially tax-free if the money is all used for qualified educational expenses.
Yeah, but you know, in my 42-year career now, I've never been able to find a situation where I could do that.
Really?
Never. Not once. Period.
No, I had one yesterday.
That's
why I was thinking about it.
Oh, there you go. And it was the parent that owned the bond, right?
I have to confirm on that because.
And it had to be it had to be issued after 1990, right?
Possibly.
And so forth. And if you meet all those requirements, then. Now, I also bet you that you can't have a bond that's already past the 30-year maturity date.
Yeah, I'll bet you
that's a law.
That probably is a rule tool. But yeah, so just to give a brief overview of this is something I stumbled upon when people around me and my family were going through child-rearing years that I thought a more meaningful gift to give than a plastic giraffe or things like that is I would buy Series EE bonds in my friend's Social Security number in something called the gift box at, Treasury Direct.
Treasury Direct.
In Treasury Direct. So you have to have the person be trusting you enough to give you their Social Security number, but then I was able to, for some of the kids' birthdays, buy these Series EE bonds that the kid was the beneficiary and the parent was the owner. And then I would dole out upon them the wisdom of the Maryland 529 plan. And here's what I think you should do with these. You do whatever you want with them, but I think you should open a 529 plan. And when you're ready, roll these bonds into it. So
yeah.
just a good, an interesting idea for a gift for when people are having children.
Yeah, so, you know, the whole concept of the topic was that there are people out there with non-performing assets, either in bank accounts or Series E bonds or whatever the case may be, and they're just sitting on them. There's like, they're not even thinking about it, or they're paralyzed, don't know what to do, and you got to look for alternative assets and so forth, alternative ideas. And this concept of transferring E bonds into the 529 plan actually makes a lot of sense, because
yeah,
there's a lot more you can invest in the 529 plan. So anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, any question dealing with personal finances, we're here to help you. And I'm sure that many people would like to hear the question you want to ask. So call in 410-922-6680. One of the topics I want to talk about is Social Security. I think Social Security, we just published an article, a new one today, dealing with Social Security strategies. There are still strategies that you can implement in Social Security. A lot of people don't realize it. And there's a lot of people out there that are not getting their full Social Security check. For example, let's say you were married for 10 years or more and you got divorced, okay? So I was married to somebody for 13 years and we got divorced. Now, I was the lower earning spouse. And, you know, I go and I'm working now and I'm, you know, finally get to retirement and I can finally retire and I start collecting my Social Security and I'm only getting like $1,700 or $1,800 a month because I was the lower earning spouse. And my spouse that I got divorced from was making $100,000, $200,000 a year. And so they're getting $3,000 or $3,500 a month in Social Security when they went in and claimed. All of a sudden, one of the kids says, "Mom, dad passed away last week. You know, and now mom's the light bulb should go off in mom's head and say, wait a minute, we were married for more than 10 years, and yeah, he made more money than I did, and I'm only getting $1,700 a month from Social Security. So mom rushes down to Social Security Administration the day after they find out that the ex has passed away, and boom, all of a sudden Social Security says, oh yeah, you're not going to get $1,700 a month now. You're going to get his check, which was $3,200 a month, $3,500 a month, or whatever the heck they're getting. You're now going to get their check if it was larger than your check. That is a common thing that people who were married and divorced and did not remarry before the age of 60 are missing. And I saw a study on this once where they said that there's a lot of people that are entitled to this extra money
that don't get it,
don't know that they even can apply to get it. So that's just one of a few of the strategies we talked about in this article that's going to be published in the Consulate Journal, we call it.
The Consulate Journal. So go to financialconsulate.com and click on the Knowledge Center and then go to the Consulate Journal where you can see all of our articles.
So, Whitey and Marie, I unfortunately took up our time for this, so you're going to have to hold with us. Hopefully, you'll hold with us for 4 or 5 minutes, and we're going to be right back. And what was the saying?
We'll be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth right after this.
More Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm going to become a professional one of these days at this, Chris, you know?
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE. or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You tell Julio to get out of town. Yeah, you know I got that one. Whitey and Glenn Burney, how can we help you?
I apologize for being on the speakerphone. I'm driving.
That's okay.
I wanted your advice on what I should do with my 401ks. I have two of them, both with former employees. I'm a regular listener to your program, so I heard you talking about how if you're not there anymore, you know, your money shouldn't be either. And also the tax implications. I have one of about $1,000. I have one that's about $92,000. And I have no appreciable savings. I'm almost 61 years old, and all those things being considered, I don't really want to leave my money in the market that much longer because the market's high right now, and I don't want to lose it because it's really my nest egg. It's all I have. And number two, the tax implications, you know, like I do believe taxes are going to be going up soon.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you have any Roth 401k money out there in any of them, or is it all traditional pre-tax money?
Yeah, all I have is 403Bs, yes.
Okay. So what I would so there's numerous things that you have to think about. Is your income, are you married or single?
I'm single.
Single, is your income in excess of, say, $125,000, or is it under?
About half of that.
Okay, so my answer to you would be I would be rolling the money over to an IRA only if, Whitey, you have nobody's trying to sue you or you have no real substantial risk that somebody's going to sue you. So that's an important issue to keep in mind. You never roll out of a 401k or 403b if you have a reason to believe somebody could sue you. And if you don't, then you roll it all over into an IRA and accumulate what you have so you're getting it into one collective pot and you can now use any investment you want to in the entire world, not just a handful that the 401k provider says. So you have anybody potentially suing you?
I know of.
You know, like Mike and I, we're personal financial advisors. So everything we do comes with personal risk, just like a doctor, just like a lawyer. So we don't tend to tell professionals who carry personal risk to take their money and roll it into IRAs. We tell them to keep it in 401k plans. But in your situation, if you don't have that kind of scenario, I would be rolling to an IRA and then looking for the best investment options for you based on your risk-reward tolerance, based on what you're trying to accomplish, and all that kind of stuff. All right, my friend?
Is there a period of time that you have to wait with a Roth or IRA to have access to your funds?
No. Once you do your rollover from your 401k, it's tax-deferred, and you'll have access to them as long as you're 59 and a half years of age.
Okay, any particular avenue I should take to roll, where I should look for a participating plan?
Well, you know, you have to find somebody or some group like Vanguard or Schwab or companies like ours. You know, we only work with people who have about $500,000 or more assets. But if you have less than that, I would suggest Vanguard or Schwab are great groups to work with. They have lots of great options. Stay away from commissioned salespeople. That's all we have to say. All right.
Call those people and ask for one of their automated investing programs.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome.
I got to go. I'm going to Marie in Eldersburg. Marie, how can we help you?
Hi, this is about Social Security.
Okay.
I'm 61. I'm retired military, and I have 100% disability through the VA. I was disabled receiving Social Security, and then because of things happening in life, I became a primary caretaker for my parents, who are now gone. And I let my Social Security lapse. I didn't fill out the annual paperwork to keep it going.
Okay.
It's been like 6 or 8 years without that. Am I even eligible for back pay, or have I lost it through being ridiculous and not filing to keep it up each year?
That's a great question. I wish Mr. Social Security himself were here to answer that question.
Okay.
I've never had that. I've never had anybody.
Because nobody else leaves their money.
I think you are eligible, but I'm not sure if you're eligible for back pay. But, you know, you're definitely eligible to get back onto the system. And so I would just contact Social Security and see what you can do. Now, I got to admit, they're really difficult to talk to nowadays.
Up to 60, though. Right. No.
What's it say?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Mikey is looking it up for you.
It looks like you may have some access to some back pay, at the very least 60 days, potentially. But
I've blown it.
I wouldn't say don't write it off yet, because this is 5 seconds of iPhone research that I've done. That's
iPhone research.
But there are multiple topics I'm seeing on it, so it does look like there is some form of back pay that could be available.
And remember that when you're 67, you will automatically be able to get your Social Security also.
Right.
So, anyway, you got to get back in touch with them, tell them the circumstances, and see what they can do for you. You know, actually, Social Security is one of the most customer service-oriented organizations in the United States. They have been rated number one numerous times, probably until just about last year when they stopped being rated number one. So, anyway, I think they're good. I personally call them at 7 o'clock in the morning. I watch my computer. Once it clicks over on the computer to 7 o'clock, I, boom, call Social Security, and I normally can get through within 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, that's good advice.
All right?
Okay.
Take care. Good call. Good question. Paul in Silver Spring, how can we help you?
Well, how do you do? I got a son who made an investment boo-boo, and bottom line is he's going to have to declare bankruptcy.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He just...
it happens, my friend, and that's what it's there for.
Yeah, I mean, I've his intentions and all that are good. I'm sure he's going to succeed. Something didn't work out. Okay, now, the point is, I have some extra assets that I am comfortable transferring to him because I know that he is actually responsible. Now, but I don't want to do it before the bankruptcy because they'll just take it right away, right?
That is correct.
So the question is there some sort of look back when he declares this bankruptcy? Should I be, waiting a certain period?
No, once the bankruptcy is done, he can get all the money he wants. And the only thing is that he can have, he's got to, if anybody tries to say you were hiding his money for him, until the bankruptcy's over. That's the only thing you have to be careful of. But if you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he never gave you anything before, you could do it the day after the bankruptcy's done, and there ain't going to be any way anybody's going to take it from you. Or take it from him, I should say.
Okay, right. Yeah, there's nothing like that. There's no transfers from him to me.
Yeah. You know what? The interesting story here is that the most successful people in the world, a large percentage of them went bankrupt at least once or twice before they hit it big. And the most people don't understand that. And so it sounds like your son has got that juices in him that you're going to experience that if you're after, if you're that type of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, no, that is the kind of guy. I do believe that he will succeed, and it's not just fantasy. He's a bright guy.
Yeah.
So,
it happened. So, like I say, some of the most successful people have been.
Hey, the reason our country is so successful is because we have that rule.
That's true.
So the bottom line is wait till all the bankruptcy stuff is totally finished, settled, and all.
Once it's settled, you can do anything you want. The only thing you have to be careful of is making sure that he didn't transfer any assets to you before the bankruptcy was over, that you're now turning back to him and you're making it very clear that there's nothing like that. And if there isn't, then there's nothing anybody can do afterward.
All right?
None
of that look back stuff like the Medicare going to zero stuff where you...
Medicaid. And that's a whole different world all to itself, my friend.
All right.
All right?
totally unrelated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, the bankruptcy laws go back to Judaic law in Moses' time, when the year of Jubilee, or every seventh year. So the year of Jubilee, you'd forgive everybody their debt, and you'd go. And then the year of Jubilee, you gave everybody back their land and so forth. That's where the whole concept of bankruptcy came from, so that people would continue to be productive in our country and so forth. So
absolutely. And I did do a little bit more iPhone research. And the two things that I've learned is it is a complicated subject, that back pay on disability benefits. So you should primarily go to a Social Security office and talk to them, or a Social Security advocate. But I did see fairly conclusively that it looks like it's limited to about 12 months. That's the most you can get.
And that's what I expected, is something like that, because, they've got their rules. And if you don't follow them, you're going to be off the payroll. But if you can come back and show you were continuously disabled, but it was just the filing of the paperwork, you're going to be able to do that.
Yep.
So anyway, we're going to have to take a pause, but we're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, the financial consultant, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consultant's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680.
Me and Julio down by the train yard. Right,
you just got Chris $20.
There you go. Me and Julio like to get to know you. Anyway, we're here on an open show. We got to get serious for once. And we're taking callers, and we do have Alan online. We're going to go to you in a second. 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. A lot of great questions so far tonight. Alan in Pennsylvania. Where in Pennsylvania are you, Alan?
I'm just west of Gettysburg.
We have an office out in Gettysburg.
Right by the Pella and the Harley-Davidson dealership.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, my friend, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. In the last 10 years, I've been bouncing back and forth between jobs, and I had to use up my 401 from my previous job, so that's all gone. And I'm with a new job, and I got my 401 going there, and I'm 50 years old, and I'm going to be retiring here in a few years, so I'm trying to figure out what I can do to make it grow a lot.
Huh. Oh, that's a difficult one. The best thing you can do is save a lot, In other words, we've talked to people about this where, something happened that they don't have a lot and they've only got 15 years or so left until retirement. And the best answer I can give them is to invest it relatively aggressively, growth-oriented, because you're starting off with a low sum of money. So even if the market did take a big dump, it doesn't matter because you're starting off with just monthly monies, and you're just going to keep buying it lower and lower and lower and lower prices, hopefully. And then, boom, if it comes back, you make a lot of money on those continuous buys. If the market just keeps going higher, then your money makes money just because it keeps going up. But the key is to control spending to the maximum extent possible and save save, save. I've even talked to clients about spending fast. In other words, if they say, you know, well, I'm making $75,000, but I can really only save about $2,000 a year because I use it all. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see how you're spending it. And did you ever think that if we eliminated this and 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 this, and you didn't have any fun for 2 or 3 years and you did a spending fast, that maybe all of a sudden you would accumulate a lot more money quickly and you could turn this around even more? So there's lots of different strategies.
There's also utilizing the retirement superchargers, the items that you can do if you choose to that really supercharge what you have saved. And two of the ones that come to mind first is move to the place with the lowest cost of living possible. And the other one is retire from whatever it is that you don't like doing anymore, but find another source of income that you don't mind so much. I've known a number of people that, you know, they were $200,000 a year, $300,000 a year executives, but they're quite content working at the marina and, you know, keeping the pool chlorine.
So, yeah. So what Mike's saying there is you take a part-time job, you retire from something you're maybe not be enjoying, and you make $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year doing something part-time to subsubsidize your Social Security and to subsidize what money you were able to accumulate in the 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, doing that, especially in the early years, really makes a difference.
Yeah. Do you live in that west of Gettysburg area?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So one of the problems he's got is Pennsylvania is a pretty cheap state to live in where he lives.
Oh, there's third world countries.
There's also third world countries. And, you know, that's a fast-growing area of retirement.
Yeah.
It's the fastest-growing amongst the baby boomers, retiring to Thailand, retiring to Colombia, retiring to Panama, and places like that throughout the world, and taking what little they've accumulated, plus Social Security and so forth, and living pretty darn comfortably in that situation. I hope that's helpful to you, Alan. I wish I could give you more. I wish I could say to you, buy XYZ and it's going to go up 5,000% in the next 3 years.
XYZ is actually a ticker, and he didn't mean that.
I actually missed out on buying into AIG back in 2009.
Yeah, I understand. That was down to a few cents a share. Anyway, I got to run. Good question, my friend.
All right, thank you.
And we're going to Michael on the Eastern Shore. Michael, how can we help you?
Well, I think you might have answered some of the questions I had with the previous caller, but where I'm at is I'm 74 years old. I'm still working full time. I'm getting my Social Security, and I only have about $50,000 in a 401k because being in healthcare for some 30 years, there's no pension at all. And I tried to save a little bit more, but I went through a divorce.
Okay.
Had child support for about 12 years, which basically killed my first 401k. So I really would like to stop working and retire, but all I have is Social Security and about a 50K 401k.
Do you own a house or do you rent?
Yes. No, I own a house.
Do you owe money on the house?
Yes, I do. I've only been in it about 6 years.
Is there good equity in the house? In other words, you've got a $200,000 house and you only owe $110,000 on it or something like that?
No, I could probably sell it and have about $60,000 or $70,000 to take away from it.
So, you know, what I would do if I were you is get the heck out of Maryland. That's the very first thing I would do because, you know, unlike our buddy up here in Gettysburg, he lives in Pennsylvania. All the income he gets is 100% tax-free. No taxes he would ever pay to anybody. And Pennsylvania is pretty darn cheap cost of living. Even though you're on the Eastern Shore, it's still not a low cost of living area where it's located. If I were you, I would look at moving to
Delaware.
Delaware, but you've got to be on the west side of Delaware, and Delaware isn't completely cheap, but it's a good state for you. Your property taxes would drop by a dramatic amount. You wouldn't pay sales taxes anymore, and you would probably unlikely ever pay income taxes in Delaware based on your situation. And I would do like Mike was talking about earlier, get yourself a little part-time job that makes you $10,000-$15,000 and subsidize it, something that you can enjoy. You know, maybe you like golf, so you become a starter at a golf course and you make $10,000 or so a year and you get to play free golf. You know, do something right. like that and find something you enjoy. I know I had a client like Mike was talking about. My client was an executive with the state of Maryland, and he was tired of all the politics and everything. So he retired and became a flower delivery man because he enjoyed giving flowers to people. Even at a funeral, they were all excited, and it made him happier because, you know, and he said, you know, everybody loves to get really pretty flowers.
I have a friend that works for Rattaballs after retiring, delivering flowers, loves it.
So, you know, I got to...
I'm sorry. Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
The 401k that I have was with my previous company, and it's just sitting there in John Hancock. Should I pull that out and try and put it in a Roth IRA, or should I just pull it out in cash and put it in my bank?
Well, you never pull it out in cash, period. Okay? Take that out of your mind. And don't put it into a Roth unless you do a tax analysis and determine how much you're going to pay in taxes to take that out. My suggestion would be to roll it over to a pre-tax traditional IRA only if you don't have any likelihood of being sued. And we already talked about that on an earlier caller. And if that's true, roll it over to an IRA, pre-tax IRA, tax deferred, and find yourself an investment. And I would talk to Charles Schwab or Vanguard, one of those two, and ask them to help you come up with an investment strategy for that money, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Good call. Good question. Excellent. And we're out of time, Mikey. You want to sing for us like Chris was doing earlier, thinking that that was Julio down by the schoolyard or where? Where's Julio hanging out? Is it the train yard? Is it the schoolyard? I don't know where he is. He's somewhere out there.
Is he down by the docks of the bay?
I don't know. That's a whole different song, Mike. We're not getting into that. Anyway, we got to go. Mikey, I'll be here next week also.
I believe in me too.
Last week for me in Maryland, so take advantage of it next week. We'll be on an open show next week. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Yes, and show them the way that you